Welcome to Books on Air, the podcast that you don't want to miss. You're about to get a sneak peek at what goes on behind the scenes with authors. We'll find out their secret recipe for creating a book. We'll tell you where they get their ideas, and you will get the inside scoop on their next project. Want to know more? Great. We'll tell you where to find them on social media. Are you ready? Okay, let's meet today's author. Joining me today is Patricia Flower Day. Patty is here to talk about her very personal book, A Living Gift and So Much More. The subtitle of the book is A Positively Impactful Story That Everyone Should Read About Five Women Crisscrossing the USA for a Cause. Patty also is a dancer. She operates the Flower Day School of Dance and Fitness, and she's a part-time youth minister. Patty, welcome. I mean, this is such a personal, wonderful book. Thank you so much for taking time out of an obviously busy schedule to join us here on Books on Air.
Thank you so much for doing this for me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. You know, as I read through the book, I thought to myself, I'm curious. Why did you think, as you were living this book, that this was a story that you needed to share?
Well, there's a few reasons. The first reason is because there's a lot of people that are out there waiting for a organ donation, whether it's kidney, liver. I am a organ donor on my driver's license, so even though I donated a kidney, when I die, I'll donate whatever else they need to that would enhance somebody else's life and make them more have a better quality of life, I guess I would say.
Let's tell the listeners how this all came about, because this is a very personal story, and it involves you and five of your friends and a lifetime of experience. Let's share this with our listeners.
Okay, well, my mom says I was dancing as soon as I could walk, so I started having some pain in my legs and feet when I was a young child, and the doctor told my mom to sign me up for dance lessons, so he did. And I've pretty much danced my whole life. I took a year off when I broke an ankle back, I think, when I was 12. But when I came back to dance, I met Teresa. She was in my dance class, and we became fast friends. We had three other friends, and we were disco queens. So I would choreograph dances for us in Teresa's basement, and we would go out and... We did line dancing before it was even invented, let me tell you.
So I would love
choreograph dances for us, and we would go out every night of the week except Monday, and we would dance. And one time we were walking into this club, and people were asking us if they were filming a movie in there, because we all had our Lycra pants on in different colors and our high heels, and we thought that was pretty funny.
I do, too. I can just see you.
So anyway, the twins moved first. They moved from, we were all based in Rochester, New York, and the twins, which were two of our five friends, they moved with their family to San Diego. And then a couple years later, Teresa moved to San Diego as well. So we, Laura and I, who were left here in Rochester, we flew out to San Diego for one of the twins' weddings, and they flew back for mine and for Teresa's wedding, and then Teresa and her husband moved to San Diego. That's why we have the red lines on the front of the book, because there are lifelines crisscrossing back and forth across the United States. And Teresa, actually, and I lost touch. But thankfully for Facebook, we were able to get in touch with each other again. Because when they moved, it was all before cell phones and Facebook and the internet. This was back in the early 80s, mid-80s. So when I connected with Teresa, she came back for her dad's funeral, and she shared with Laura and I that she was in the early stages of kidney failure and was probably going to be her last trip home because she would be going on dialysis and wouldn't be able to travel. And so I didn't think too much about it because she looked pretty healthy. But several years later, she came back for another visit. It was a surprise visit. And I couldn't believe the change in her. Her skin was kind of gray tinged, and I think she only weighed 98 pounds. And I felt like she came to say goodbye to everybody. But we went out to dinner, and I had this tingling sensation inside me. And I realized I was going to give her my kidney, and I just knew that that was going to happen.
Wow.
So I did. I flew to California. Well, first I got tested in secret, so she didn't know I was getting tested because I didn't want to, I didn't want her to get her hopes up if something happened and it couldn't happen, but I just knew in my heart it was going to happen.
Because you have to be a match. You can't just donate a kidney. It has to actually be a match for the person, and they have to go through. What kind of testing did you have to go through to find out if you were a match?
Well, they took 16 tubes of blood.
Wow.
And sent it off on the Pony Express because it had to get there. It had to be kept at a certain temperature, and it had to go across country within a certain amount of time. And they called me. I got tested, I think it was early June, and they called me the end of June and told me that we were a match, that there was no cell death. And we were the same blood type. I don't know how many antigens were alike, but you really just have to be the same blood type. So I called her on July 4th, and I told her we were going to have surgery on August 24th, and I was going to fly out on the 19th and have a month of testing done in 5 days. That was crazy.
Wow.
That was like a roller coaster ride. That was all kinds of tests. And some of them almost went wrong where they wouldn't have been able to do the surgery because I almost had radioactive dye injected in me for one of the tests. And that would have killed the kidney when they took it out of me.
Oh, my gosh.
And moved it into her because that test was done, I think, 2 or 3 days before the actual surgery. And, yeah, it was – you can read all about it. I actually started a blog when I – flew to California for the surgery because all my dance students and my friends and family were very concerned about me flying out there, donating, and then flying back.
Well,
like,
yeah.
10 days later.
I mean, your support system is in New York, and you're going all the way across the country. Do you feel like there was divine intervention in this?
Absolutely. The day I arrived in San Diego, now, I've been to San Diego before, and it's always like in the low 70s and sunny every day, pretty much. The day I arrived there, I think it was 119 degrees. They were having a very unusual heat wave, and Teresa didn't have working air conditioning in her apartment. So that was absolutely horrible because the heat wave did not break until after I left. So I was there for 10 days, and literally the day I flew out of San Diego, all these fires popped up all over the place. There was lots of wildfires everywhere. It was almost like,
Patty,
I don't even know.
That's unbelievable. Now this book, you decided to write this book, and it was a finalist in the Women of Faith book writing contest. But at that point, you didn't feel like the story was ready to be told. Is that right?
Yes. I hadn't even edited it. It was I had had an ankle surgery, and I was 6 to 8 weeks non-weight bearing. So that's when I wrote the book. And I didn't have anybody read it. I just sent the first draft off to, because I'd never written a book before, so I didn't really understand that you really have to have somebody read it and edit it. And it still was a finalist. And Westbow Press was bugging me for years, too. They kept calling and saying, we want to publish this. This is a great story. And to be honest with you, my vision for this story is a Lifetime or Hallmark movie because I think it would be so fun to have this story told on a big screen. And I would love Mandy Moore from This Is Us to play me.
I love it. You already see yourself in the movie. That's wonderful. You are a performer. I love this.
I guess it's just in my blood.
Now, let's back up a minute. You All right. glossed over the cover, but I want to spend just a minute talking about the cover of the book. Let's go back and describe the cover for the listeners. They'll see it when they go find the book on Amazon, but let's describe it and then tell okay. the story about how that happened, because I think this is just a wonderful story.
Well, the whole thing is really divine. The story's divine. How this book came about is divine. So I have a friend, and she is a graphic artist for major magazines. That's what she does. And her and her husband were my beta readers. And she loved the book so much that she actually designed the cover. So the cover has kidney beans on it. And there are five red lines that crisscross across the cover. And the kidney beans, of course, represent your kidney. And the five lines represent the lifelines of myself and my four friends crisscrossing across the United States.
And
the lines go throughout the whole book. So when you open the pages, on every single page, those five lifelines are there.
Because those five lives have stayed parallel with one another for all this time. I just think this is terrific. I'm sure that we have tickled our listeners' interest. Is there a part of the book that you would like to share with them, Patty?
Oh, sure.
Please do.
I think the last part, it says a note from Patty. It's on page 79, and I'll read it for you. It says, I thank God for giving me the opportunity to model a sacrifice that would be good and pleasing to Him. If I could do it over again, I would do it in a heartbeat. If I can trust God with this big of a thing in my life, then I should trust Him with all the little things in my life too, right? Easier said than done. I believe that God planned this year of my life out for me and Terry before we were even born. I feel like if I ever do anything great in my life, I was put here on this earth, in this place, in this time, to give Terry my kidney, to give her a gift, not only from myself, but from God. And I'm glad that I allowed Him to use me to share a gift of life with Terry. This gift inspired three people I know to give a gift of life. And perhaps by telling my story, others might also give that gift. So it could be the gift that keeps on giving. Not everyone's called by God to donate a body part, but I believe that we are all called by God to do something wonderful while we are here on earth. What is God calling you to do?
I love that. I love that. I know that our listeners are also wondering where to find the book. I look at Amazon. I always go to Amazon and check and make sure the book is there, and it is, and it works perfectly. Let me give our listeners the specific name of the book and spell names so that they get it right and they can find it easily. The name of the book is A Living Gift and So Much More by Patricia, Patricia Flower Day. Flowerday. Just put that in the search feature on the first page of Amazon. Click on it, and Patty's book comes right up, and you'll see that wonderful cover that was designed by her friend. I just thought that was such a great story. I thought we needed to tell about that. There's also an excerpt. If you look at the cover of the book and you look in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see the words, Look Inside. All you have to do is click on those words, look inside, and the book opens, and you can read a really nice excerpt so that you get the feel for what Patty's early life was like, and there are wonderful photographs that really illustrate the whole book, and you get to see what Patty looks like and what her friends look like, and you get to go back to those 60s and look at them as dancing queens. I mean, it's really very well done, Patty. Good job. Now,
thank you.
You're doing some social media things. You mentioned your blog. Is your blog on your website or is it separate?
My blog's not on my website. The blog is in the book. That was the blog that I did. It was on a Tumblr account.
Okay.
Years ago. I don't even know if it's still there. But the blog is in the book of, like, the book starts out as a story of my life and how I met Teresa. And once I arrive in California for the donation, it's actually in a blog form because my friends and family and my dancers and their families wanted to, they were concerned about what I was doing because nobody they knew had done that before.
Right.
And so they were concerned, and I thought, well, if I write a blog and tell them what each day to day is like, it will, you know, calm them down and give them some peace.
And it's almost like a diary. I know people who have breast cancer have done the same kind of thing. It helps. The counselors will talk about doing a blog or a journal or something like that, how positive that is for the individual who's going through the actual event. But then exactly as you pointed out, there are other people who want to know what's going on and want to keep in touch and want to make sure that everything is all right. Tell me about your website. What will our listeners find when they go there? And give me that address.
Well, I just created my website last week because I knew I was doing this podcast. So my website is patriciaflowerday.com. PatriciaFlowerday.
No spaces, right? No spaces?
No spaces.
What will they find when they go there, Patty?
They will find the cover of the book on there, and they will also find a link to Amazon where they can purchase the book. The book is also available in Canandaigua, New York, in the Wegmans store, in the local author section.
Perfect. Now, are you doing any other social media? I think you're doing an author page on Facebook. Is that right?
I have an author page on Facebook, and that's also under my name, Patricia Flowerday.
Now, I like for the author to always have the last word about their book, because I think that's it's so important for you to be able to leave the listener with your thoughts about the book. When they finish, when our listeners buy a copy of the book and they either physically or metaphorically close that back cover for the last time after they've finished reading, what would you like for them to leave with, Patty?
Well, God speaks to me through His Word. So by studying His Word, I have a good relationship with God, and I try to study a little bit every day. And I guess I would like them to have a relationship with God as well. It won't be the same as mine because everybody's different and everybody's relationship with God is different. But I would hope that it would give them faith that there is a God out there and that He can do wonderful things if we just be still and listen to His small voice. Because there's so much noise in the world that sometimes it's really hard to hear God's voice.
You've written a book that is so inspirational and such a wonderful story and journey of five friends, five women who have gone through life and whose lives were together and then went apart and then have come back together in such a special way. I want to thank you so much for being our guest today on Books on Air.
Thank you so much for having me. And I am working on a second book.
Well, I hope you'll come back and talk to us about that. What's the name of it, Patty?
It's called I've Had 10. I Shits You Not.
Now you better explain that.
It's about 10 little Shih Tzus. That I have had throughout my life, and each chapter is named after the dog, and it tells the story of how the dog came into my life and how they passed out of my life, if they've passed out of my life, but I still have five right now.
I love it. You are a true dog person. You are a true dog person. Remember, you can find Patty's book, A Living Gift, and so much more, by Patricia Flowerday on Amazon. You've been listening to the Books on Air podcast, brought to you on webtalkradio.net. You can also hear this podcast on iTunes as well as iHeartRadio. I'm Suzanne Harris, and I hope you'll join our next Books on Air podcast. Remember, it's really the place to be, because you never know who you'll hear. Thanks so much for listening.